It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading with the 18th verse. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. We would love to have you visit. We'd love to have you write to us. Please do so. I hope that you're enjoying the study, and I hope that you've found Jesus Christ as your Savior through the study or through some other means. Someone has brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that if you are born again and you're saved, that you're enjoying this study as we go verse by verse through this precious book, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. Now we begin to read. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel, and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, as ye had said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone. And bless me also. Now we'll begin with prayer now after reading the word, as we read through the 32nd verse there of chapter 12. Please, as we come to the Lord, just ask him to guide and lead us as we study this. Father, I ask you, Father, that you'll show us the great pictures, the great story, the great truths of your word. Please, that we do not miss one word. Every time, your word is living, Lord, and so every time that we study this, every time we go through it, it will speak to our hearts differently. Please, now that you do speak to our hearts, please that you show us your way and will for our lives. please, dear God, don't let us miss one beautiful picture and one beautiful point as we're studying today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, isn't it wonderful to come together and enjoy this time and be together and have this wonderful study? It's just so wonderful that we can enjoy this and do this together each time. And I hope that you're able to study the Word together. I hope that it's not that you're traveling, and if you're on your way to church, or maybe you have to work. I know I have folks that listen to the program from work, and I'm very thankful because it does give you an opportunity to hear the Word of God, even though you have to work on the Lord's Day. And so I'm glad that you're with us. Please that you will enjoy the study today. We have gotten down to the 18th verse, and upon the 18th verse it says, "The first of the month, on the 14th day of the month, in at the evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened." And we spent some time last time, we're not going to duplicate that, but we talked about how that speaks so clearly of sin, of evil, and it needs to be rid of our houses. We need to take care of that problem in our houses. And so please that you do it in our houses, in our homes, in our own personal lives. We need to take care of that. So please seek the Lord's will, power, and strength to do that. You cannot do that until you come by faith to Jesus Christ, because you know you have no power to have the victory. You have no power until you come by faith to Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Jesus Christ, through His saving power, took every sin away from you. Your account is clean. The problem is that we're still living in this old world, and we still have the old flesh. So even though the sins are forgiven, they're taken as far as the east is, the west from us, and we have that, please understand, you still live in the flesh. We still make mistakes. Some churches, some place believe that you can get to a place of perfection here upon this earth. That's a lie. The only time that I'm going to be perfect is the day that I am face to face with Jesus Christ. That is the first time. That'll be the only time, and then forever, so thankful. But here and now, I still have to deal with the old flesh and with sin and with the old devil, because he is still here and he is still coming and hampering us. He can't have me. He can't have my soul, but he can destroy my life if I will follow him. And when I mean destroy my life, I mean destroy my testimony. And I can still live for the devil if I make that choice. I'm going to be most miserable. If you want joy and peace and happiness, you serve Jesus Christ. And you'll ask me, "Well, Larry, how can you be saved and serve the devil?" Well, that old devil is very powerful, and that old devil's very sneaky, and I know an awful lot of people that are truly born again, but they've been deceived by the devil, they've been misled by the devil, and they're following after the devil now in false teaching and things like that, still busy in the church, but they're not following the Lord's will in a way. And so please that you seek after the truth. You know, one perfect example we have of that in today, and you don't hear the word so often as you used to, but the little cliques and little groups are still around. That's the Promise Keepers. That was one of the biggest tricks that the old devil pulled, and many, many true believers have been deceived and still are being deceived by the union that they have made with other folks of other religions, and they think that's coming together. No, we come together once with Jesus Christ. We follow His doctrine and His doctrine only. There's only one way of salvation, and if you are fellowshipping and supposedly worshiping with someone that is of a contrary doctrine, in other words, you can only be saved by faith and faith alone. That's it. There is no other way for salvation. No other way for salvation. You can't do it by works. You can't do it with some require baptism. That's adding works. Please be so careful that you follow the Word of God and do not be deceived or tricked by others. Look to the Word of God. Have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you'll have that if you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now here we have, we're rid of the leaven. Get rid of that leaven, and we need to do that as a believer. If we want the fellowship of God, we want the blessings of God, we want the power of God, we've got to get rid of that leaven. And so what a beautiful picture there. And I have listed in front of me, you know, as we look at these feasts, there are several, and we think of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is one that we look at. We have some first that are set up on sevens, and all these in the book of Leviticus, Exodus and Leviticus both will be covered, but one is the weekly Sabbath. That is put into place here. And see, this is the first time that this is instilled. This is given by the law of God and is given to Moses up on the mount. See, people don't realize, they think just the Ten Commandments. But they got the offerings, you know, whether it be the burnt offerings, peace offerings. There are several of the offerings that are listed, and as we have the wonderful picture of there, we have the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. And so those are all put into place when Moses goes to Mount Sinai. Also, we have a weekly Sabbath. We have a seven-year Sabbath feast, and we have the 15th year, the 50th year Sabbath feast. Now, those are all put into place, and if you'll notice, those are all increments of seven when you really look at it. And then after that, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We have the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Pentecost are interchanged because they go on at the same time. One is just one day different than the other, but they continue through the same times, through the same feast. And so Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. And what a wonderful picture that those feasts have. And, you know, Pentecost you're familiar with. That's when the church was really put into place and started. You're just really going to enjoy as we get to looking at those feasts. But I wanted to list them. We talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover last time we were together, but I wanted to show you what was to come, kind of get your hunger, your appetite up a little bit for what God's Word has to say, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. But here we have two in place. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Passover, and they're told that they're going to have a holy convocation. Now, here they all go into their homes when we're in Egypt. There's the Passover changes. Because no longer, after this one time, after this first time here in Egypt, they no longer put the blood over the lintel and the doorposts. That isn't done. The Day of Atonement, the Feast of Atonement, there is a single Day of Atonement during that feast, and at that time we find that they do kill a goat. There's two goats, and they cast lots to see which one dies, which one lives. And the blood of that goat is taken, and they take it into the Holy of Holies, and it's sprinkled seven times. Again, the number seven, for completeness, for perfection. And it's sprinkled seven times across the mercy seat and over the room of the Holy of Holies, because that is the only way we can go before God the Father, is if we are covered by the blood. And that's what that represents. And here we have the doorpost and the lintel covered by the blood. Each time we're covered by the blood. And if you deny the blood of Jesus Christ, you deny His saving power. You have no salvation if you deny the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. His precious blood right now is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. That's where His blood is. That's how important His blood is. Jesus Himself delivered that blood and completed the work of redemption for us. When He died and rose again, that was part of His responsibility as our high priest. And He completed every part of the law, every part, and he delivered that up. And there's a tabernacle in heaven identical to the tabernacle that was here on earth, or as close as the earthly vessels could make it. And so when he went up on the mount, saw that tabernacle. I think he saw the tabernacle in heaven, so he knew how to build this one down here. And so as we look at these words, and that's all things to come, I hope that you get excited about it. I sure do. And all these feasts, all these festivals, they get together, and it says, with a holy convocation they will come together. And that means a great assembling, a gathering. And there were certain feasts that they had to return to Jerusalem. Now see, we're still in Egypt. We haven't even got to the Promised Land yet. We're going to get to the Promised Land. And the land of Canaan, and it will become the Promised Land. The city of Jerusalem will become the city of God. The city of Jerusalem will hold the temple of God. And people, when they would pray towards. You talk about a testimony that these people were supposed to have, the Israelites, that the whole world was to look towards Jerusalem when they called upon the true God. That's the nation of Israel was responsible to take the news of the gospel of the coming of the Messiah, the saving power of God, the saving power of Jesus Christ, and to come back into fellowship with God. The nation of Israel was called to deliver that message to all the world. That's how important the nation of Israel is. Why do you think that we need to always be on Israel's side? It's because they are God's people. They've been disobedient. They didn't listen to God. They missed the Messiah. But they're still God's people. But that's what God wanted them to do. Same thing he wants us to do. He wants us to take the gospel out to this lost and dying world. And so there will be a gathering together, and there were certain times they would come to Jerusalem to do that with these feasts. And again, all those things we'll learn, all those things Moses received when he was up on Mount Sinai. And so now we have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We have the condition that ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation, shall ye eat unleavened bread. You know, no leaven. And then in verse 21 here, we call them together. And Moses now, he's heard the word of the Lord. He has heard his directions in every way. And so he calls the elders of Israel together, and he shares all this with them. And he tells them exactly every step and how to do it. And we kind of have just a summary here. But then Moses called for all the children of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family, and kill the Passover. And we know that all the instructions, everything else that God had told to Moses, was repeated unto these people, that it was clearly, very clearly stated. They knew exactly what to do. And it was told here then in verse 22, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. You remember, you kill the lamb and you catch the blood, and you take this lintel, and it's just like a brush that they have made, and they take the blood and they apply it. Now don't miss this. They apply the blood to the two side posts and to the lintel. They apply the blood. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. This death angel's coming. The destroyer is coming. And you must be covered with the blood. You must apply the blood. Now that's as clear and as simple as you can ever get when it comes to the Word of God. The blood must be applied. And I've told you, and told you and told you, if you deny the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, because the blood must be applied. I've known people that were so self-righteous and so self-centered that they knew their Bible, they could read their Bible, but they denied the blood. They saw no reason for the blood. Oh, my friend, they're devil's workers. They are not saved. There can be no salvation in the heart of a person that denies the blood. Now, you may say, Larry, I never heard this before. I've never heard it. Well, ignorance, there's no excuse for ignorance. But at the same time, now that you are hearing it, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you going to recognize that what the Word of God teaches is true and I believe it and thank the Lord that we have learned it now, that I know that now? Maybe that's exactly where you're at, because you see, if you're born again, that's what's going to happen to your heart. If you hate what I'm saying right now and you don't like to hear about the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the need for it to be applied, if it's, you know, I've been called a blood worshiper because of the doctrine that I teach in God's Word. That's what I've been called. Well, you be ready, because people will say the same thing to you, but if you're born again, you cannot deny the blood. You won't want to deny the blood. You will love what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you and that what it can do for others. And so please, the blood must be applied. It's got to be applied. You know, this man, these people could have done everything. They could have done everything except applying the blood. I mean, that's exactly what could have happened. They could have done everything except applying the blood. They just they caught the blood, or they didn't catch the blood. You know, well, they killed the lamb, they roasted the lamb, they girt their loins, they did everything that they needed to do to be ready to go. They were prepared for everything, but they thought, you know, that the people and neighbors are going to make fun of me. The neighbors are going to wonder what happened to me when I start painting blood on the doorpost, on the lintel. They're going to wonder about me. Well, let them wonder, because that's the way of God. That's the truth. Now, are we to do that today? No, we're not to do that today. We are not to repeat that, and that was never repeated again. They didn't do this. They did kill the sacrificial lamb. All those things took place at Passover. I mean, that was something that was, but what happened, they did not repeat the process of putting the blood on their doorposts and on the lintel. You see, Jesus Christ died once. And this picture was a picture that was prepared and given to us just once. He didn't have to repeat that. Now, what were they to tell? Remember what when you get into the land that I have promised you, and you arrive there, and the children, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? What were they to tell? Look at that beautiful picture. You say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt, of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. That's what you tell them. You know, we need to be giving a testimony to our children. We need to be talking to our children about the day we got saved, the day that we met Jesus Christ, and the day that the Spirit of God showed us our sin and showed us the need of salvation. And I can take you right to the very place where I got down on my hands and knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And it was halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house. Now, it's a beautiful spot. Is there something sacred about that spot? No. But there's something sacred about what happened to my heart, because Jesus Christ took my sins away. And I begin to learn. I begin to grow in the Word of God, because Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God in my heart, now I can understand God's Word. And we enjoy proclaiming God's Word, searching God's Word, and growing in God's Word. But it all started the day in 1975 when I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart between the house and the Pharaoh house. The house is still there. The Pharaoh house is gone. There used to be an old building, an old granary that sat in front. It's gone. But the spot, that place in my mind, can I go stand in that exact same spot today? No, I couldn't find that spot. I could be standing on it. I might not be standing on it. But I know, and I remember without a question, when I met Jesus Christ. And you need that same remembrance and that same relationship. Can you write down the day? I said 1975. And I can tell you it was in the spring of 1975. but I can't tell you closer than that. So I can't tell you. It was on, you know, May 15th. It was in the evening. I remember that. It was in the evening because it was just about dark. But I can't tell you the exact time. I can't tell you the exact date. But I know when I met Jesus Christ. Because I remember that just like it was yesterday. Because my life has never been the same since. And your life will never be the same from the time you meet Jesus Christ. And we need to tell our children that. We need to tell them about when we met Jesus Christ. We need to tell them where we met Jesus Christ. We need to explain that wonderful day to them. And just praying for them and waiting for the day and sharing the Word of God with them, that they too will find that day and have that day, and their life will change and never be the same. Oh, it's wonderful. And so we find here that they need to apply the blood. And that's what you do when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. You meet Him at the cross of Calvary. And we meet Him at the cross. That's where His blood was shed. That's where He died and paid the debt and paid the price. And that's the day that my sins were taken away from me. But until I accepted the free gift of salvation and come to Jesus Christ, that it wasn't mine. It wasn't applied, you see? It wasn't applied. It's the same thing here with all these people, all these Israelites right down the row. You know, if they lived house after house after house, and if one individual decided that he wasn't going to apply the blood, then he had death in his household that day. And knowing people, I'm sure there were some of the land, not the land, but the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, of the 12 tribes, as they marched out of Egypt, that there were some didn't march because they didn't believe the Word of God. And maybe they didn't even kill the lamb, but maybe they did everything, but they got down to it, and some Egyptian or somebody made fun of them and says, well, I'm not going to do that. Maybe that's right where you're at today. You're listening to the world and not listening to the Word of God. Please, that you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and see that the destroyer does not come into your house and smite you. The destroyer will come. God is a God of love, but God is and has to be, must be, a just God. And He will judge you. The only way that you can come out from under that awful judgment and that condemnation and that damnation to hell, the only way is if you are covered by the blood. If the blood has been applied, and that's what happens the day you accept that free gift of salvation. Oh, please, I do not want the destroyer to come into your house. I don't care how much false doctrine you've taught. I don't care how much money that you've given to that cause. I don't care. I care only about your soul and you coming to Jesus Christ, that this blood will be applied to you, that the destroyer will not come into your house and will not smite you. And that's what verse 23 says. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it come to pass when ye shall come to the land, and this is the land of Canaan I was talking about here in verse 25, which the Lord will give you according as He hath promised. See, God's word's good. That ye shall keep this service. That ye shall say, and it shall come to pass that when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. That's what I want you to do today. If you've never trusted by faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to bow your head today and call upon Him and ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Say, I'm a sinner, a rotten, filthy sinner, and I need salvation. Please save me today. I want you to do that. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood has already been applied to you because you've come by faith, then I want you too to bow your head and worship and praise Him today. There's no greater honor than being a believer in Jesus Christ and being able to call upon the Lord. Please today, praise Him, honor Him, serve Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?